survey that they did across all various demographics, genders, races, all throughout America, about a sampling of about 3,000 people. So it was a pretty decent study, and 50% of them were really worried that they weren't going to be able to afford to buy the Christmas gifts that they wanted to. Another 40% said that they were worried about even finding them. I can't afford to buy gifts. I can't even find them. 25% were worried about spending time with their family. Oh boy. You know, sometimes your family can be a real blessing and it's fun to be with them, and sometimes it can be stressful. But we talk about the joy of family time at Christmas, and sometimes it's difficult. 35% were worried about working long hours. Music teachers have that problem. Oh, 39% were worried about affording holiday meals, and 31% said that they were more stressed this holiday than last. Up 9%. Busy. Decorate, make food, make cookies, buy gifts, travel, wrap presents, mail presents, write Christmas cards. I'm so bad at Christmas cards. Oh, terrible. But Christmas can come with, if you let it, a boatload of stress, and society puts a lot of that stress on us, and it's there. I was I had a doctor's appointment this week, and right on the counter there where you go in to check in, it said 25 days till Christmas, and I looked at the secretary and I said, "Your calendar is making me stressed out." And she looked up at me and she said, "I know, me too." And there are other reasons that people find the holidays different. One of them, it's a big one, is grief. If people have lost someone in the last year or the last 2 years or the last 3 years, don't think it goes away for a long time. 4 years, 5 years. It's worse when the holidays roll around. When you come around to Christmas time, oh, that if you're aching for them, it hurts. Oh, it really, really does. And I encourage you, if you know people that have lost someone, Christmas can be really tough. Find them, pray for them, bless them, find a way to get to them, and get that sound. Oh, that was added emphasis. It was planned to drop, the mic drop. Yeah, that was weird. If the Lord brings somebody to your heart and your mind, somebody grieving at this time, write their name down. Drop them a note. Send them a card. Give them a call. Send them a meal. Go visit them. Say hi. Give them a hug. It's a wonderful time. Another difficult thing for some people at the holidays is social isolation. Because Christmas time, get together with family, get together with your friends and have parties, and then there are people that are just alone. And it's tough. You know, maybe it's some of you. It's hard. If there are people that are alone, find those people. If there's somebody here in our church that's alone, if that's you, you can either find somebody else that really needs you and be giving that way, or you can be a person that can be on the receiving end of that. But social isolation, it can be very, very difficult. And our society puts a lot of pressure on people at Christmas time. People expect things. People expect you to get them a present. People expect you to do this or to do that at holiday time. And so this is the season of joy. Joy, joy, joy. So I think we really need a massive change of view. Now, honestly, for me, I love Christmas. I just love Christmas time. I love putting up lights. If you ride up our street, our house is the one that's all lit up. I put lights out all over. And I haven't gotten Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus out yet, but they're coming. It might be today. I don't know if I can get them out there. And I love buying presents for people. I just love buying presents. My wife has to hold me back. You know, I'll buy this and this and this and this. And my wife will say, how many things do you have for Robert? And I said, well, I got this and this. She goes, Robert's done. Yeah, but Robert is, he's done. Okay, well, what about Andrew? Let's get I'm just ready to go. I love to go out to the stores. I shop online. Sorry guys if you're not like that, but I just love it. But it introduces a level of stress to the holiday season because I feel like that's something that I have to do. One of the favorite things I like to do at school is show Charlie Brown Christmas, mainly because Linus gets up and preaches the gospel. I love it. But Charlie Brown, he's all sad about all of the commercialization of Christmas, and he says, can somebody tell me what Christmas is? This Christmas is all about, and that's when Linus gets up and talks about it. But what does the scripture say about joy at this season? What does it say about real joy? The commercials will tell you that people will be really, really joyful if you buy this thing for them. They'll be really, oh, joy. You know, and we have a box at home that says, a gift of joy. What does the scripture say about it? Let's look at it. Luke 1, 39 through 45. In those days, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord's word to her will be fulfilled. We get a little extra emphasis on the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke. At Mary's arrival, Elizabeth herself is actually miraculously pregnant. It says that she and her husband were both very, very old, well advanced in years, and she was barren and well past age. And the angel came and told Zechariah that she was going to have a baby. And Zechariah was like, seriously? And the angel said, okay, zap, you're not going to speak until my words are fulfilled. But Elizabeth is miraculously pregnant. She's the cousin of Mary. And Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and we're going to see joy in a very unique way here. At Mary's arrival at Elizabeth's home, the baby inside of her leaps. I can't imagine what that must have been like for Elizabeth. Like, wow, any of you, I've never been pregnant. Ladies, have you ever had a baby leap inside of you? Yeah! I mean, it doesn't say it just kind of moved around or it gave a kick. It says it leaped. John in the womb, he's like, woohoo! Jesus is here! I don't know, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus is here. I can't imagine what was going on there, but very cool. And then it says Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she goes on to bless Mary. You enjoyed that, didn't you? Blesses Mary for her belief in God and her willingness to submit to the plan of God. Do you see it? Her willingness to submit to what the plan of God was that would be born from her womb, and which, by the way, was not easy. It was not easy to be an unmarried virgin in Israel and be found pregnant. You know what everybody thought. Adulterous woman. You know, who knows what they thought of her? Who knows what the accusations and the whisperings came? It was not easy at all. But Mary submitted to it, knowing full well what she was going to face. Now, consider for a minute, what is it that Elizabeth and her baby inside of her leaping around are so excited about? The Lord that Elizabeth speaks about hasn't even been born yet. Hasn't been born yet. He's still an unborn baby. He hasn't done anything yet. Oh, by the way, can I throw another word in? Abortion is absolutely murder all 9 months, period. And here we have the testimony of it right there. Right there. What's happening in the wombs of these women was the promise of God. And they weren't born yet. Doesn't matter. It's life from the second it's conceived, and that's the way it is. But John in the womb is doing his little thing, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus hasn't even been born yet. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't done a thing yet. There's a lesson for us to learn here. What if we can have real joy in our lives, not because of how things are right now, but because of the promise of God that we're expecting and believing for, the things that He's promised, the things that He's going to do, the things that you're praying and asking God to do, the promise of His return. What if we can have joy not because of the way we are now, but what God is going to do? We can have joy thinking about what He's done, but look at this. This is all about anticipation. Elizabeth gets blasted with the Holy Spirit, and her baby's dancing around in her womb out of anticipation for the coming of that which has been promised for thousands of years. And what they knew that God was going to do through the life of Jesus. How did John in the womb even know that Jesus was there? It's like, yeah, interesting. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, because the presence of Jesus being close has a powerful effect. I mean, they come in. John's in his mother's womb. How does she know that Jesus is standing in the womb of the lady over here? But it's the presence of Jesus, even inside of Mary. Powerful, amazing presence of God right there. Do you know when you cultivate the presence of God in your life, when you get into His Word, when you're praying, you're seeking His face, and you really get a hold of the presence of God in your life, it's going to affect everybody around you. It's going to happen. I remember years ago, and who am I? I'm nothing, but I went to my high school reunion, and another friend of mine named Mark had gotten saved, and I talked with him later in the night, but he looked at me and he said, I knew you had gotten saved the second you walked in the room, and I saw you. I knew it. And, you know, there's something of the glory of God in you, and the presence of Jesus in you. When you go somewhere, the presence of Jesus changes the atmosphere. It does. You might not even recognize it, but it happens. It happens. The presence of Jesus. Wow. Just Him being in the womb had a change in everybody in that household. Wow. Verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord's word to her will be fulfilled. He's saying, blessed is she who believes that God would fulfill His promise to her. Mary was blessed because she trusted and believed in something that had not yet come to pass. Cultivating an attitude of expectation in God can bring real joy. Now, I'm not talking about presumptive believing where you like say, okay, I'm believing God for a yacht and a mansion and I'm talking about believing for what God has promised. Believing what God has spoken to your heart. Believing that Jesus is coming back. Beware of the lie that I'm afraid to get excited about, I believe that because I'll be dis- what if I'm disappointed? What if I'm disappointed? You know, that's the lie of the devil. Will come to you and say, when oh, you, there's no need, you just you keep praying like that, you're just going to be disappointed. Disappointment. That is absolutely a lie from the devil to steal joy from your heart and to keep you from expecting the good things that God wants to do. Now you may have to wait. How many thousands of years did they have to wait for their Messiah? People lived and died waiting, hoping for the Messiah, but it came. It came just the same. Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking in Charlie Brown Christmas, and it's in my mind now because I'm going to be showing it to my students again, I think. Charlie Brown, he's all depressed over the commercialization of Christmas and his rotten little tree that flops over. And Linus says, Charlie Brown, you're the only, I got to read it, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. And you know, that can be true. That is so true. Our joy is based on our priority and our perspective. Our priority on what's really important in our perspective, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Think about last week's message. Promise after promise for thousands of years. And people might have thought, well, they prophesied that and it hasn't come to pass. It's been 100 years. It's been 200 years. It's been 500. It's been 600, 700. But eventually it came to that point and it happened because God keeps his promise every single time. And maybe you're waiting on God to do something in your life. Maybe you've got prayers that you're still praying and you're believing and anticipating. God is not done yet. He's always on the move. And wherever we're in his presence and walking with Jesus, anything is possible. Do you know that that's true? Anything is possible. Anything. Ooh, glory to God. Anything is possible. Oh, please go. Luke 1, 35-37, and the angel answered and said to her, this is to Mary when he announces that she's going to bear Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One which is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, and here it is, for with God nothing will be impossible. That's the New King James. Some of the newer versions have really captured the idea of the Greek a little bit better. And instead of with God, for with God nothing shall be impossible, they translate this, for no word from God will ever fail. Never! 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 What has God spoken to you? He will never fail. Glory to God. Where was I? But just like Jesus' presence in Mary brought joy to Elizabeth and John, his presence in our life can do the same. Can do the same thing. Another set of characters in the Christmas story are these fine fellows, the shepherds, Luke 2:8 through 15. And there were shepherds residing in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Well, yeah, if you're out watching sheep and angels appear and the glory of God shines out, well, I'd be pretty freaked out. That word terrified in the Greek is pretty strong. I think they hit the ground. I'd have been scared that schnitzel out of me. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. Don't be afraid. I'm just coming. I'm a shining angel, shining the glory of God all over you. Don't be scared of me. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So these guys, these shepherds, of all people, for the angel to appear to, God chooses to have the angel appear to shepherds out on the hillside. Why didn't he go to the religious leaders and appear to them? They're the religious leaders. He didn't go to a single religious leader. Not one. Not one of them heard it. None of them. Zip, zero. The very pious got passed over. Now the Magi came later on. They were wise men from the east. Probably had influence from Daniel and his captivity in Babylon. They probably believed in God. But none of the religious leaders there did. The king didn't hear it. None of the governing people heard it. Nobody of importance. God sends the message to these dirty, smelly shepherds that were out on the hillside. And yes, they were dirty, and yes, they were smelly. I'm sorry, but sheep on the hillside don't smell good. They're animals, and the shepherds had to get close and up front with their sheep, and they were constantly tending them. And shepherds, according to what we read in history, were very looked down upon. They were not considered high up in class. They were looked down as very low class. Very low class. Who does God send his angels to? The smelly shepherds on the hillside. Yeah. So, and they say, we bring you good news of great joy. Joy! Joy comes to the smelly shepherds. The Messiah who was promised has come. The fulfillment of the word of God to all people. This means that we can find joy regardless of who you are, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your income level, regardless of your state in life, regardless of whether you're viewed as important or unimportant, regardless of if somebody has told you that you're ugly or stupid or fat or thin or, you know, all things. You, regardless of your circumstance in life, good news of great joy. You can walk in joy. And we can find that joy regardless of or in spite of our circumstances. Can you receive that today, that God wants you to walk in joy no matter who you are? No matter who we are, we can find, and we don't have to be important. We don't have to be a somebody. God doesn't care about somebodies. Aren't you glad that God really cares about nobodies? I am a total nobody. Well, I won't go there. we'll leave that right there. But do remember, too, that joy is usually fulfilled on the other side. And what I mean by the other side is the other side of difficulty. The only reason that Christmas makes any sense to us at all is because it points to the cross. It's the only reason that Christmas makes any sense at all. What was the purpose? The purpose of welcoming this baby into the world, the Messiah, was the cross. That was the ultimate thing. That was Easter, that time when he would face a horrible beating and a crucifixion death. And yet, in the middle of it, the scripture tells us that Jesus had joy. How do you have joy? How does he have joy in his 3.5 years of ministry, knowing what the end of it, well, it's not the complete end of it. We know the Easter, we know the resurrection, but knowing what he had to face. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the set before him, emphasis mine, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Notice that word, endured. How was he able to endure that? How was he able to actually go through it? Because of the joy that he was anticipating. The joy that was to come. That joy was what enabled him, propelled him through that difficult trial and got him to the other side where we have Easter morning. Glory to God. Oh, man. So the anticipation of what was coming got Jesus through that. And God not just got him through it, but got him through it with a sense of joy. So here's the question. You know, when Jesus is agonizing in the garden, he doesn't look joyful to me. When Jesus is going through his beating, he doesn't. When he's praying with his disciples, he doesn't look joyful. Is joy a feeling? Think about it. Is joy a feeling? Is it an emotion? I want to tell you, I believe joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. Wow. I have to remind myself of that. It's a decision. We choose to believe God. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, strive for the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I believe that we can choose to believe God and find joy just as much as we can choose to be miserable and find depression. Did you get that? I hope you got it, because it's a battle. I'm a pastor here, and I fight this battle all the time. All the time. I have to decide whether or not I'm going to be joyful today. And I have had some things in my life in the last week that have not been joyful. Well, have not been happy, let's put it that way. Have not been easy, difficult. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe God, to anticipate the outcome, believe what God is going to do, and then step forward in it, and endure what you have to, knowing that on the other side, it's going to be okay because we're serving the living God. I love preaching to you. You are with me the whole time. This sister, she's like, yes, yes, yes. I love it. It's awesome. Thank you. Oh, we can... Always. Always, always, always. I want to read you a quote. The plane's about to land here. From D.L. Moody. If you don't know who Dwight L. Moody was, he lived in the 1800s. He was the founder of Moody Bible Institute. He was a revivalist. Hundreds of people got saved in this man's life. He says, happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances can mar it. What that means is happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances can ruin it. The way things are can ruin it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows through all persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart if we can let it. You know, you can be unhappy and be joyful. Isn't that weird? You can be unhappy, but still have your joy. That's hard to get. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to Him, and sometimes when we don't walk in obedience to Him, because He is a merciful God. Oh, last week we looked at prophecy that unmistakably and specifically pointed, fulfilled the birth of Jesus. But the culmination of our joy is the sure promise that He's coming back. Do you know you can count on that? 2,000 years. What is that in the sight of God? Jesus is going to come back. That can be an unending source of joy for us, no matter what our life is like. Do you know the Scripture says our life is but a vapor, a breath? And yet, eternity, what is it going to be like forever? James says, our light affliction, which only lasts a moment. And sometimes it feels like it lasts a long time. It's like, come on, God, when is this going to end? But from God's perspective, it's only a moment. And then on the other side, what do we get? We get joy. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that in Your presence is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures evermore. That's Your word. In Your presence, there is fullness of joy. So, Father, I pray that in this season, we would gain the perspective and not be robbed of our joy because of busyness or all the other things that want to impact us, or things that we think that we ought to be doing, or all of that, Lord. I pray that You would help us to find joy in the presence of Jesus and in the sure anticipation that every promise that You have given will be fulfilled. Lord, help us to be people who look backward to see Your faithfulness and look forward to anticipate Your fulfillment. Lord, we look backward and we see Your faithfulness, and then we can look forward and see Your fulfillment, Lord, even when we're not there, but we can anticipate it. And Lord, we thank You that just the presence of Jesus in us can change the atmosphere and can touch hearts and reach people. Father, I pray that You would help us to be really joyful people in this season. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. Glory to God. Go out and be a Christ bearer. And if you can join us on Thursday night and come bring some joy to some other people, we're going to give out Christmas tracts and candy and goodies and talk to people. And it's an opportunity. Don't miss it. Glory to God.